This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
You're listening to the latest edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrana.
Invite those who are afflicted and those who are helpless to exalt the Lord with you, to exalt Yahweh with you. Now, this is bold, and I understand that, but I want to challenge you with it. To actually not only personally praise the Lord at all times, but to invite those who are around you, who are hurting, who are afflicted, who feel helpless, to put their attention on the Lord as well. Invite them to exalt Yahweh with you.
Think about the last time someone opened up to you about what they're going through. The stress, the fear, the feeling of being stuck. Most of us default to trying to help, offering solutions, and saying the right words. But sometimes, the greatest help isn't found in having the right answer. It's found pointing them to the right place. Because when someone feels helpless, what they really need is hope. Today, Pastor Bo encourages you to invite those who are struggling to worship and put their attention on Jesus. Now here's Pastor Bo as he continues his message, Taste and See That Yahweh Is Good.
David says, here's the first thing you can write down on what to do when God delivers you from a fearful situation. Number one, you want to praise the Lord. You want to praise Yahweh. You want to give him praise. Praise, praise, praise. No matter what situation you're in today, you might be doing well and you might be in distress. You might be facing physical challenges, diseases, hardships, all kinds of things. Or you might be like, my life's fine right now. Whatever it might be, understand first, for all of us, David's sort of bursting out and starting this psalm is this invitation to everyone to say, I will bless the Lord. I will bless Yahweh at all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. In Gath or not in Gath. In a cave, not in a cave. Doesn't matter. David's saying, one thing that I do know for sure is that at every season of my life, in every day, in every time frame of life, I will bless the Lord. And I want to encourage you to do that. This used to be very alive and well, I feel like, amongst a lot of God's people. We used to bless the Lord, praise the Lord. We used to say it even a little bit more often. I want to encourage you to leave your Christianity in the four walls of a church building somewhere. But be like this at all times. I will bless the Lord. I will praise the Lord at all times. And now you'll see why in just a minute. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. And then he says in verse 2, my soul will make its boast in Yahweh. He will boast in the Lord. And then notice the second part of that verse. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Try to picture, if you would, David and about these 400 guys gathered around. It's okay to think that that's the setting, even though this psalm is an acrostic. So you see, it's got every letter of the Hebrew alphabet before every verse of the psalm. It was the way they did poetic kind of literature at that time. So that tells us he must have been sitting somewhere after the whole Gath thing and wrote this thing out, you know, with a little bit of some thinking involved, and then wrote it out. So it's okay to think he's in the cave with the 400. It's also okay to think that it's a little after the event and he's writing it. Either way, what happens here, David is saying is, as a result of my soul making its boast in Yahweh, when the humble are around me, those that are in distress around me, those who are afflicted around me, those who are helpless around me will hear my boasting in the Lord and they also will rejoice. It's a big deal, guys. It's a big deal. Let's catch kind of the spirit of David here. Like how he's got such a heart of worship toward God in every season. Doesn't matter what it is. He's even going as far as to say that what happened to me now, I still place my boast in the Lord. And as a result of me doing this in front of you, it's going to enable you also to rejoice. Because I know your guys' situation, he's saying. You guys are in debt. You guys are in distress. You guys are discontent. Your souls, your hearts are bitter. That's what these guys were like. Upset about life. Things weren't going the way they wanted. So they found in David a commander, someone they wanted to follow and try to do something about, you know, their situation. And what does David do? Does he say, yeah, I am the guy. Come on. I mean, who would, and be honest, right? Who would want to be followed by these 400 guys? I mean, just think about it. I mean, these are 400, like, you guys are a rough crowd. You know, these 400. And what does he do though? No, he knows. I've got to set my attention. I got to point things to the Lord. And as I do that, their spirits will get lifted as well. They will start to look to the Lord as well. And that is what ultimately needs to happen. It will be the best, you know, that's the situation you want. Now, verse 3 is the beginning of the second point I want to give you. And it's this, number 2, invite those who are afflicted and those who are helpless to exalt the Lord with you, to exalt Yahweh with you. Now, this is bold, and I understand that, but I want to challenge you with it. To actually not only personally praise the Lord at all times, but to invite those who are around you, who are hurting, who are afflicted, who feel helpless, to put their attention on the Lord as well. Invite them to exalt Yahweh with you. It's very challenging for me as a pastor at times, but I will do this, and it sometimes goes over well, and it's sometimes a little bit hard. I will challenge some of you guys. I might have said this to some of you even already, but I'll say it where I try to put myself with you in it, and I'll say something like, well, we choose to give God thanks and praise for that, don't we? And that's me trying to do that, trying to invite you to worship the Lord that I know you know and love, but at this point, you might be in distress. Or you might be afflicted. You might have something going on and your attention's there, and that's kind of just where your heart's at. And so I try to just say, hey, no, I want to invite those who are afflicted. That's what David does here in verse 3 all the way through to verse 7. Look at this. He says, magnify Yahweh with me. So here's the invitation. This is one of the biggest invitations in the Bible for people to praise God. And let us, he says, exalt his name together. Guys, I know the nation's a mess. Guys, I know your lives are in debt. Guys, I know you're discontent with life. But come on, magnify Yahweh with me. Let us exalt his name. And let's do it together. There's something corporate that has to happen here. There's an individual application in this psalm, and there is a corporate application in this psalm. There is the individual deliverance that God wants to give to you personally as a result of this psalm, and there is a corporate deliverance that God wants to give a nation, a church, a group of people, deliverance as well. Come on, that's good news. That's exciting. That fires me up. I don't know if it fires you up, but that does me. Magnify the Lord with me. You ever heard somebody say, I've said this to you guys, don't leave me up here. You ever heard me say that to you guys? I've said it to you a couple times. Don't leave me up here. You know, don't leave me just standing here by myself, exalting the Lord, giving God honor, praise. No, get in this thing with me, right? Right? We got to say that to each other and invite other people to do that with you. No, I'm not going to just worship the Lord by myself up in here. God has designed this to be something that we do together. And when we worship God together, there's a corporate power. It's just different. It's different when then I can experience the blessing of God, the deliverance of God in my life through praise and all that. But when we worship God together, it's very powerful when God's people choose to say, God, you are our deliverer. Our deliverer. We worship you together as your people. That's very powerful. And we're so independent today. We're so individualistic today. I'm always peppering that in and talking to you guys about that because the Bible is always just advocating fellowship, one another, in each other's homes, all this thing there's of what it is to be a spirit-filled Christian in the New Testament. We are the church, the body of Christ together. Okay, I inquired, it says, of verse 4, of the Lord, right? There's something to sort of catch, and that is seeking the Lord. I find myself in tight spots. I find myself in tight situations. One of the best things you can do, I'd say the only thing you can do, is to bow your knee right there. Just get on the floor. Stop trying to manage it. Stop trying to figure it out. Start becoming a person who seeks the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek Him. Seek Him with your whole heart. Seek Him with your mind. Use your words. Say the things that are on your mind and your heart. Seek the Lord. David says, I inquired of the Lord. I like that in the LSB. Inquired. Because that's what you're doing when you're seeking the Lord. You're inquiring about His mind. You ever have a problem and you know that your buddy can't fix it, but there's a guy who specializes in this, and if you went and chatted with him and poked at him, right, he could actually give you something specific and something helpful toward what's going on. It's similar. Why wouldn't we do that with God, right? Why wouldn't we inquire? Why wouldn't we seek and ask? And so I encourage you to do that. This is why we would invite other people who are helpless to join in on exalting the Lord. Bo, what are you getting at? I want you to see in this verse of verse 4, it's because you at one point sought the Lord. David says, I inquired of Yahweh and He answered me and delivered me from all that I dread, all my fears. So, because I did that, I think it is safe by way of sort of edification, exhortation to say we ought to invite other people to exalt the Lord because you previously in your life, you sought the Lord. You sought the Lord and He answered you. Anybody in church today who has sought the Lord and you have had God answer you? Anybody? Just me? Okay, a few hands. Anybody else? I feel like they were kind of spread around. Anybody else? Come on, anybody want to testify? Anybody want to boast in God? Come on, like, Bo, what are you doing today? Come on, I'm trying to stir you up a little bit. Draw that out of you because I know it's true. I know God has spoken to you. I know that if you are in Christ, God has delivered you from your old flesh, from your old sinful life, and He's now put you in His kingdom. And at one point, you were fearful. You were fearful of death. You were fearful perhaps of your future. You had no hope. And so David is saying, hey, because at one point in my life I sought the Lord and He answered me and He delivered me, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt His name together. Verse 5, he says, now this is interesting, verse 5. It says, they looked to Him and were radiant. And their faces, David says, will never be humiliated. He's talking about people who we invite to exalt the Lord. People who have been afflicted, people who have been helpless. David is saying, they look to God. And when they do, David said, just like when I was in Gath and I was in front of Achish and I saw my life flash behind me with Saul and my life flash in front of me with Achish, something happened as a work of God in that moment in my life. And what was it, Bo? It's wrapped up in that word, radiant. David is saying, people who look to God in their affliction, in their helpless state, and they choose to exalt the Lord and say, God, help me in this moment. Help me in this moment. Their fear flips to courage, faith. Their eyes kind of even go from like total like petrified with fear, like I am going to die, like just to God's about to set this thing off. like and just bear with me when I talk like that. I'm just like, you in this situation I thought it was going to be over, but now I have sought the Lord, and by His power, delivering power, presence of His Spirit in my heart and life, He will remind you, I have the power to deliver you. And you begin to be reminded of the impossibility of man, or the limitations of man and the impossibilities that are possible with God. And your eyes flip. They go to radiant. They go to like, now look at this person. They're like glowing. They have courage. Their eyes are different. They actually now believe that this situation can and will change. And notice the second part of verse 5. It says, their faces will never be humiliated. That's a great word of encouragement for us. Not walking around in shame. Not being humiliated. But understanding that, no, God gives radiant joy, never shame, to all who look to him for help. Look to him for help, and he will flip that to joy. He will flip that to courage. Still, David, this whole first section is just a big kind of testimony. Verse 6, it's still personal. He says, this poor man called out, and Yahweh heard him. We can relate to that, can't we? This poor man, meaning this desperate man. And this is why you would invite others who are in affliction, others who are helpless. This is why you would invite them also to exalt Yahweh with you, because you prayed in your desperation and he heard you and he saved you from all of your troubles. David says, this poor man called out and Yahweh heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And it also can be like so poor that David is actually also not just poor like desperate, but poor like poor at this stage in his life. David is poor here. Like David is broke here. David has nothing. And as a matter of fact, this is in a low point of his running. This is like a low, low point for David in his life. As far as even just physically, he has nothing. So please take a measure of like comfort in that, or the ability to associate with that. Like my satisfaction in God is not predicated upon my temporary circumstances. My satisfaction in Yahweh is based upon him and the satisfaction that he brings me in the person of Jesus Christ. And where we find so much satisfaction is in Bible study. Bo, what do you, yeah, that's where we actually sort of get our thirst quenched, or our desires brought into being able to have them fulfilled, is when we study the Bible. And when we study the Bible, Christ comes off the pages of the Bible and he blesses us. He satisfies us. We commune with Christ, with God, with the Spirit in Bible study. So I just want to, so many of my counseling type issues that I do experience with believers is, you know, and I'm not perfect, obviously. I mean, none of us are, but where I can tell would be so helpful in many of our lives is just the willingness to take the time to study the Bible. Just to study the Bible, just to read the Bible. And we've done series on Bible study, and there's no shortage of how to study the Bible. There's a shortage of studying the Bible. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, you can Google right now and AI will tell you how to study the Bible. By the way, this is a non-AI developed sermon, by the way. How could it be? I don't have any notes. It's like, maybe I should use AI. No, but there's no AI here. I'm just saying, I lost my track of what I was trying to say. So let me just move on. This poor man called out, Yahweh heard him. Look now at verse 7. Also very comforting verse, David still being personal here. The angel of Yahweh encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. So the Lord himself, we could talk more about that. But let's get into our third point now. And it's this, when we talk about doing or what to do when God does deliver us from fearful situations, here's just the third one I wanted to share with you. Sort of hang our thoughts on it. Invite others. I know we already said that once, but watch this. A little bit more specific here. To taste God's goodness. David says in verse 8 of this psalm, O taste and see that Yahweh, or the Lord, is good. Now, this is a wonderful verse of scripture, obviously for a million reasons, but the one thing it really addresses, I think, is you could have the best apologetic, you could have the best theology, and you could argue it the best way possible, and someone still not embrace Christ as Savior until they personally do what? Taste and see that the Lord is good. It's just true. My kids love Culver's too much. We love Culver's too much. And we love their ice cream. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Their ice cream at Culver's is so good. Those concrete mixers, I'm distracted right now. Let's go. After church, let's go to Culver's. And I could take you there and buy you what I think is some of the best ice cream you can get, right? I like the vanilla and the cookie dough concrete mixer, right? And if you and I go to Culver's and we sit down together and they poured chocolate on top of that thing, and I mean, it is just, and we sit down and let's say we call some ice cream committee to go around town and say, hey, will you investigate the best ice cream in town and tell us which is the best? And let's say they go and they search all of our favorite ice cream spots. And let's just say for conversation here, by way of illustration, they dub Culver's concrete mixer with the gold medal. It's whammo, it's the best. And we're sitting there together. You've got one, I've got one. You know what I'm doing. Spoons all up in there, right? This thing is great. But how are you going to know that that really is as good as everybody says and everybody knows it is? It's only if you or this person that's in our lives that we're always praying for will for themselves taste and see that Yahweh, the Lord, really is good. Good. And so that's what we're always trying to help people understand, is that, oh, I could explain. We could do the archaeology. We could go to Israel. We could blah, 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 blah. But there still needs to be this faith step that's taken. There still needs to be this willingness for one person to say, I'm going to trust Christ with my life. I'm going to surrender my will to his will. I realize that my sin is sin and it needs to be paid for, and it was paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross. I need his atonement to be applied to me so that I could receive his righteousness, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his freedom applied to me. I need to be free. I need to be saved. I need to be rescued. Until that person reaches that point, you can say all the right things. But that's what has to happen, is the person, and we pray for that. We pray for that. We pray that the Spirit would work in a person's heart where they would choose to do that, exercise their own will, and believe in the Lord like that. But that's David's encouragement to these guys, or his invitation, I should say. It's to taste and to see that the Lord is good. And then he says, how blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Verse 9, oh, fear Yahweh, you his saints. I'd like to remind the church of that today. That we are to fear the God of the Bible. We are to have a holy, reverent respect and awe for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahweh, Jehovah God, Elohim. We are to have a honor, a respect, a reverence for God. We're to fear God in that healthy way I'm talking about, that reverential way that he is God. And we as his saints, we fear him.
If you're enjoying this edition of Truth That Transforms, we'd like you to share it with friends and family. Pastor Bo's messages can be found on our website, trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. But you can also subscribe, like, and share these via podcast. When you subscribe, you'll always be alerted when new content is made available. It's easy, accessible, and convenient to share with those you know. Again, make sure to subscribe. Truth That Transforms is based out of Melbourne, Florida. If you're ever in the area for work or vacation, we'd love for you to join us for community and fellowship. We meet on Sundays at 10 a.m. Pastor Bo has more to share at that time, and it would be such a blessing to hear about your story and get to know you, helping get you connected. If you have children, we have opportunities for them as well. There's a youth midweek service at 6:30 on Wednesdays. Get them involved and plugged in too. To learn more about our ministry and who we are, we invite you to go to trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. Pastor Bo will be back again next time, reinforcing more truths about God and how our relationship with him and his word is of utmost importance in impacting those we relate to in the world. Perspective is key, right? If you have any questions, feel free to call us at 321-676-8992. That's 321-676-8992. Thanks for listening to this edition, and come back for more from Truth That Transforms.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
What you're seeing now is either the coming of the Lord or a great preview.
Dr. Tony Evans says world events take on new meaning when viewed through the lens of prophecy.
Well, there's always been wars. The difference is at the coming of the Lord, it will affect the whole world.
This is the Alternative Broadcast, featuring the timeless biblical teachings from the archives of Dr. Tony Evans. When the world feels unstable, it's easy to focus on what's happening around us instead of what God has already told us. Today, Dr. Evans explains